Outstanding. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8. Start reading with me in verse number 4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, Father. Bless your word in thy holy name. You can be seated. I like the way the Apostle Peter uses the full title of our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it very clear. And fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Bible is a book of history, the history of the Jewish people, the history of creation, the history of the Gentiles, the book of Acts, and all of that. The Bible's quite a book because it covers a lot of subjects from Genesis through the book of Revelation. But there is one major subject that this book covers from Genesis through Revelation that is by far above and away most important, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible and you don't get Him, you missed everything. You missed it. That was the point of this book. John said, these things are written that you might believe, and believing have everlasting life. So the Apostle Peter called Him the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means He's the sovereign over all the universe. Sovereign. Sovereign Lord. He's the owner. He owns it. He controls it. He's the one who puts the sun to bed at night and raises it again in the morning. He's the one who gives you the breath that you breathe. He's the one that keeps all of these things in order as you look out into this universe. Not scattered like a lot of people to have you believe. Everything has its place. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign over the universe. Then Jesus means that He is the Savior. This is His name of humiliation. Gabriel said, call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Right now, while I'm up here in this pulpit, trying to preach to you, there are countless millions on this earth, tens of millions on this earth, hundreds of millions on this earth, over a billion on this earth that know Jesus and call His name out every single day that they walk the face of this earth. Jesus, Jesus. You go into a hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee, or anywhere in this country, you'll hear the name Jesus more than anything else. And because of Jesus, He's the one who saves. And then Christ is the anointed one. He's the one anointed of God. And the reason He's anointed of God is because He received all of His power by the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Being the second person of the Trinity, He could have done it because He had the power of it within Himself to do everything He did. But being in absolute and complete subjection unto the Father, everything He did under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. The New Testament says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And He did. And so He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Mashiach, the Messiah that they look forward to. But my dear friend, He was anointed as the prophet in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 15. The scripture says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet like unto me from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. He's the prophet of all prophets. He's the prophet. He's the one who looks into the future and tells you what God is going to do. Prophet, the Old Testament prophet, is the one who was stoned to death. He's the one who suffered at the hands of the people. The prophets were starved. They were put into holes, dug pits. They were placed they were everything you could imagine to be done to someone was done to the prophets. He was the priest. He was also anointed as priest. Psalm 110 and verse number 4 says this about Him. Psalm 110 and verse number 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's prophet and he's priest.
And his priesthood is not limited to Israel. He's a priest of all mankind. Prophet, priest, and then he's king. In the book of Psalm chapter number 2 and verse number 6, the scripture says this: Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This is what we're looking for, friend. We're looking for the king. And we're looking for the king to bring the kingdom. And we know that this world is about ready to explode. I mean explode. Right before your very eyes. But take heart. For when you see these things happen, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. What a day. What a week it would be if our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Chapter number 2 of Psalm in verse 6 said, Yet have I set. You look at the etymology of that word set, and you'll find out it literally means I have anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed one, prophet, priest, and king. So when we look at the Bible in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15, we see he's prophesied to come. In Genesis 3:15, long 4,000 years before he was born, the scripture says, And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because Genesis 3:15, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here's a prophecy. When the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, that was 4,000 years old. Who could prophesy into 4,000? How many of you in here today know what's going to happen tomorrow? Much less 4,000 years from now. You believe the Bible? There's no book on this earth that looks into the future like the Bible does. It's a book of prophecy. If you take prophecy out of the Bible, you've gutted it. The Bible is a book of prophecy. No other book on the face of this earth can even stand where the Bible stands. It is a book of prophecy. When, Bible says in Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 25, after 69 weeks, a total of 70 weeks of prophecy to be fulfilled. If you believe the book of Daniel, you'd know when Christ was going to be born. And the wise men from the east believed it, and they were searching for his star. We have 1 week that is yet to be fulfilled, and that week is the 7 years of Jacob's trouble. It is the 7-year tribulation period that is soon to come on this earth. Folks, look outside. You want to see what the tribulation is going to look like? Look outside. You're watching humanity collapse before your very eyes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So Daniel chapter number 9 says when he would be born. Matthew chapter number 1 verse number 23 says how he would be born. And I love this. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23. We read these words. The Bible said, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Hold on. Wait a minute. I thought you were a man of sense, preacher. I thought you were someone who thought things through. You mean you believe in the virgin birth? You better believe I do. Earthly man had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. He was begotten of the Father from heaven. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Well, preacher, they don't teach that in our church. Get out of it. Amen. Find you one that believes the Bible. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 tells you how he would be born. Isaiah prophesied of that in chapter 7 verse 14. 700 years before this virgin daughter of Zion, Mary, brought forth her firstborn child and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I'd love to have been there. Just a fly in a corner somewhere. I'd like to have been there when he was born. And the Bible tells you where he would be born. Now watch me on this, because this is important. In the book of Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2. Micah 5:2, it says, But thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And he says, from everlasting. So who are we talking about, preacher? Micah chapter number 5, they knew in 2,000 years ago who it was. For when the wise men came, look at Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 4. When the wise men, verse number one, to get the context, 2,000 years ago when these wise men came from the east, look at what happens. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Balaam prophesied about a star. Yes, he did. Verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief... Now watch this. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. See this? These people 2,000 years ago had the scripture. They knew where he would be born. Watch them answer this now. Watch his own counselors answer this question from Herod. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Here is somebody that had the light blazing in their eyes. Here is somebody that had the truth right in their hands. Here is Herod that his question had been answered. Where would Christ come from? Herod was a monster. They don't get any lower than Herod the Great. Yet he was given an opportunity here. He was given an opportunity when the wise men came and said, "We have come to worship him. Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Herod within his own soul began to think about the thing that all people, everybody on this earth is motivated by. And the only thing that can touch it is the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, survival. Everything wants to survive. Herod the Great wanted to survive. He wanted to live. Number two, that everybody lives for is propagation. To make more of themselves. To bring more children into this world. And number three is comfort and food and security. That's what men live for. If you want to know what men are living for out here, it's those three things. But look at the context now of how God is dealing with the soul of a man. And he'll deal with your soul the same way. Look at it. "And when he gathered them together and wanted to know where Christ should be born, they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" They were absolutely right. What they said to Herod the Great was absolutely correct. Straight from the Bible. And they quoted Micah chapter 5, verse number 7. "And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." He was concerned about that. When did it appear? How long has it been since this has been brought into fruition? What time element are we looking at? Verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.'" Did Herod want to worship the Lord Jesus? No, the murdering dog, he wanted to find him and put him to death. Because he was somebody that was a counter to his throne. He was somebody that was bigger than his throne. He was somebody greater than his throne. In verse number 9, "And when they heard the king, they departed." They were in their innocency. These wise men had come from the east in their innocency, and they wanted to worship the Lord God. Are you here like that today? Have you come into the house of God and you don't know much about the Bible, but you know that you want to know more? That you want to know more about God, then that's good. That's a good thing. Look at verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Now look here, folks. These aren't Jews. This isn't America. This is 2,000 years ago, and we have no idea where they came from. A lot of speculation. Some say Zoroastrianism, some say Babylonian, priest of the Chaldeans and all of that. Folks, it didn't make any difference. They wanted to know the truth about this birth, this king of the Jews. And they wanted to know it enough to where they had loaded up a caravan and they had headed west. They didn't have anybody preaching to them. There weren't any churches where they came from. They came from the darkness, but they wanted the light. Are you in darkness? Then you can get the light. Watch this. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, all precious gifts of that day. And being warned, now watch this, God intervenes. Herod had been presented with the truth. Herod had had an opportunity to accept the truth. It had come face to face to him. Now watch God intervene. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." There's only one, just one, who can tell you what you're going to do. There's just one, who reads the heart of a man. God's a just God. I want you to look at Romans chapter number 3. Oh yes, just one. There's just one that's going to tell you everything you say, every move you're going to make. When you hear the gospel of the Son of God for the first time, He knows what you're going to do. What's that called, preacher? Foreknowledge. There's only one that has that, and that's Almighty God. Now look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3, verse 4. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome, watch this now, when thou art judged. The day will come when all of creation, everything that has ever existed and exist, is going to come before this eternal, almighty, absolute being. And I don't know exactly all the details of what to expect of it, but I do believe that from the first breath that man ever drew until the time of the judgment bar of Almighty God, life of human beings will flow before them, all of them. God can do it in a moment of time, just like Satan in a moment of time showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world. And here's what's going to happen. That thou might be justified when thou art judged. Listen to me. Without Christ, you're going to get what you deserve.
Amen. You're right.
You're going to get what you deserve. That's the crux of what I'm preaching to you. What do you think you deserve? What do you think of yourself? Who are you? Are you a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person, preacher. Well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Because you see, you've heard the gospel today. You're like Herod. Herod heard the truth. He heard the truth. His men said in Bethlehem. I've often wondered what happened to them. They were the Bible scholars. They knew exactly where Christ was going to be born. They knew exactly where they took him straight to Micah. What happened to them? There's not a word recorded in the New Testament where those men ever got saved. Yet right before their very eyes, they were watching the scripture being fulfilled. And you're seeing it right now. You got to be blind not to be able to see what's happening. I mean, you got to be blind. You got to be blind. America's gone through hard times. We'll go through hard times. The world's gone through hard times. But not like now. This country is on the verge of exploding. They're warning people that Tuesday night, if Joe Biden is not elected president, and this is coming from the news media, that if he's not elected president, look out, there might be war in the streets. That's what they're telling people. That's what they're warning people. And I'm not up here to be a bearer of bad news. I'm not up here to depress you, but I'm up here to tell you something. Thank God for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the shooting and the killing starts, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be something if when they kick your door down to come in and get you, you hear a shout and up you go? Leave them alone. So, when thou art judged, let me say it one more time. Let every man be a liar. And without Christ, you'll get what you deserve.
Right. Amen.
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 I deserved hell.
Amen.
Oh boy. I worked for it. I was good at it. I put my time in for Satan. Oh, I was ready for to receive my wages. Oh yeah, the wages of sin is what? Oh yeah, payday was coming for me, no question about it. I was ripe for the kill. Oh yeah, I was the fattened pig. You know, fatten the pig in the wintertime and then kill it and get hams and bacon and all that. That's me. I was ready for judgment. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Why was He born? Matthew chapter number 1 tells you why He was born. Why was He born, preacher? Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 21. Call His name Jesus. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Let me tell you something. I heard a man not too long ago. He said, preacher, I was on a gurney. He said, the doctor was working on me. Cardiologist. He said, I began to slip out of my body. He said, I was going into a dark tunnel. He said, as so many of them say, he said, I was going off into a horrible place. He said, I could sense around me. I didn't want to be where I was. And he said, something come into my heart. It just said, say the word Jesus. 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 And you better believe he latched on to Jesus. He latched on to him. He sure did. He latched on to him. And apparently he was brought through it. Now, a lot of folks don't put any stock in stuff like that. They don't believe in out-of-body experiences and all of that. But you have to turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Read that. Go home and pray over it. Because the apostle says, I knew a man in 12 years ago, whether in the body or out, cannot tell. That's somebody you can't explain it according to natural law. Why did he come? He came to save. How did he come to save? Matthew chapter number 26. And verse number 2. You know that after 2 days, the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be what? Man, crucified. That's awful. I'd rather be shot 1,000 times. The guillotine's fast. There's a lot of ways to leave this world. But crucifixion? That's one of the most horrid things a human mind has ever imagined. And yet in the councils of eternity in God's mind, He chose the cross. He could have chosen a lot of different things. But you see, He told them, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Bible tells you that cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Part of the theology of what we believe is, it's called the vicarious suffering of death of Christ. In other words, suffered for me. He was cursed in my place. He was put upon a tree. He was made a spectacle. And there He was, suffering the judgment of Almighty God. My God, my God, why have You forsaken me? He didn't say that theoretically. He didn't say that to because He's supposed to say it. He said it because God had separated Himself from Him. Amen. Father, regardless, if You have into Thy hands, I commend my spirit. You know what I mean by that? The Lord Jesus died by faith, even though the Father had denied Him. He died by faith and put Himself into the hands of the Father. The Bible's full of future. And I'm going to read just a few of them for you. Matthew chapter number 10. To try to give you an idea, I want you to look at this carefully, because a lot of people are preaching a lot of stuff today that's doing nothing but confusing people. Matthew chapter number 10. And verse number 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of where? Israel. Till the Son of Man be come. What's that say? That tells you right now that we have a context, the context of Israel, the Jews. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. Matthew 13, verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He warns them in so many different ways.
about the coming of the Lord, but he's coming to the Jews. Matthew chapter number 16, verse 27. Another warning. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say to you, there shall be standing here, some be standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. How'd that fulfill? Exactly. If you didn't hear them, folks, John the Apostle in the book of Revelation saw the Lord Jesus Christ come in his kingdom. John's Jew. These are Jews. Jewish coming. Then to move up to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People aren't looking for the Lord to come back. No. They're not looking for the Lord. They don't care about the Lord coming back. They've been brainwashed. They're Darwinians. They've been brainwashed in evolution, denies the Bible, thinks it's just an old book full of fairy tales. No power in it. I'm going to tell you something. There's power in the Bible. The Lord Jesus is coming back. But all of that, I could read many, many more to you. There's one thing that is never mentioned in all of these scriptures about the Lord coming back. You know what that is? Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Amen. The mystery is the rapture of the body of Christ. Read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read about that mystery of coming for his bride. And then I'll close with this morning. Turn to Revelation 1:13. Revelation 1:13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His hair and his eyes were like white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes was a flame of fire, and his feet likened to fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. They watched him crucified. He died. He suffered. They saw the disciples scattered. It had been a horrible time for the Christian community. For the people in those days, it had been terrible, terrible, terrible. For the Lord had died on a cross. And then they saw the power of the disciples all of a sudden change. They might not have been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. But they saw a change in the disciples. They weren't scared to death anymore. They stood in boldness like Peter did at the gate called Beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But you see, it was still bearing down on them. They hadn't seen him. And so the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, written by John, about 90 to 95 AD, that book describes the glorified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that glorified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, shining in his glory, in his power and his might, is a type of what you're going to look like when you come up out with that glorified body. Amen. How many of you would like to have a new body?
Amen.
Mine's wore out. I'll swap with you. It's finished. It's wore out. God's going to give me a body like unto his glorious body. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. My soul and my spirit is eternal. Time doesn't affect it. Body's about finished. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I come and give us that body. You ready for that? You say, that's a pipe dream, preacher. No, it's the truth. The Lord could come back at any moment. I was thinking the other day, I was driving down the road and looked up in the sky, and the clouds were so beautiful and the sun shining through them. And I looked off, and at that moment I began to gaze up in there, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be if we heard his shout and saw him stop in the heavens, and we went up to meet him in the clouds and in the air and gone away from this place? That's how quickly this will end. You say, well, I'll get right. You won't have time to get right. It'll happen that quickly. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Father, bless your word. And bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore. We glorify his holy name this morning. Bless his name. Bless his righteous name. And Father, we pray for every soul in this house and those watching this thing over the internet and those that will watch it later. And however form it goes out, we pray that you'd bless it, anoint it, and use it, Father, to help people. In your holy name I pray. Amen.